Well, it's good to see you on this Sunday following the withdrawals of Thanksgiving. I told Melody, I said, I don't know why we don't have, and we might have it, I don't know. This Sunday, the following Thanksgiving, is empty your refrigerator day. If you don't want it, bring it here. We'll either eat it or we'll throw it into garbage for you. If you're like the rest of us, you're tired of eating, but you're probably over that by that evening, and you're ready to go again. But we praise the Lord for which the season we find ourselves, and I hope it will truly was and continues to be a time of thanksgiving of all the Lord's blessings and grace to us. We're going to be looking at that even more today as we look at God's love and, of course, heading into the Christmas season together. Open your Bibles, please. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We've been here a couple of weeks now looking at this issue, oh, to be like Him. If God so loved, we ought to love one another is where we find ourselves today. But let me remind us again of, we always need to bring us back to the plumb line to make sure we are all understanding what John is telling us and remind us of the theme of John. If we're not careful, we start taking text out of context and we start building, I don't want to say theology of our own, but if we're not careful, we forget in what context John is telling us what he's telling us. So let me do that for just a minute. And I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 5, and I want to remind you of the theme of John. John's theme is found in verse 13 of chapter 5. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. So whatever John is telling us in chapter 4 is to be put under the heading of assurance. He's dealing with assurance, what he's been dealing with from chapter 3, verse 11, through the end of the chapter, assurance. Now he tells us to be discerning in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. But even then, that has to deal with this issue of assurance of our salvation. Here we find ourselves again in this issue of love and it being manifested among us. Well, let's begin our reading in verse 7, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter to make sure we catch the entire context here. Beloved, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we might have confidence before the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Father, again, we ask your blessings upon our time. Give us understanding. I pray for the one or the two or the many that do not know thee as Lord and Savior and treasure of their life. May they see the love of God manifested in Christ today. May they call upon Him. If we call, He is faithful and just. He will save us if we call upon Him. Father, for us that do know You, I pray that we are models, that we are living out this love that You have placed in us, according to Romans 5. Filled us, poured it into us to the overflowing measure. And Father, that we go forth as an example, as manifesting, as completing, perfecting, as it were, this love that You've perfected in us. So Father, give us understanding, give us ears to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This love that we have in us and is manifested itself in the way it is manifested in the way that we live. It is giving assurance that we know the Lord. If this love is not in you, you have no desire to display such love, then you have no assurance and you don't know the Lord. Look at chapter 3, verse 14 just a minute. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brother. Whoever does not love abides in death. Verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes up his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And the answer to that is what? It doesn't, right? Okay. Chapter 4, verse 8, of course, our text that we've already looked at. But anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And verse 20 that we've also read. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. And he does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So this issue of love that we're talking about is at the core of our assurance. How do we know that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? Well, it has to do with our doctrine, what we believe. It deals with how we live, and in this case, that we love one another. We've looked at verse 7 and 8 as this assurance of love, and first of all, that it's grounded in God's love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. That's where it's grounded. It's in Him. This is not something that we dream up. It's not something you can read a book about and know how to love. This love, according to Romans 5 and verse 5, has been poured in our hearts by God in His Spirit. But let me ask a question here. I think Billy asked me this question. It's a question that he runs across sometimes, and I told him I'd plug it in here. And this is a good place. If God is love, how can God send anyone to hell? How many of you have had that question asked in some way, fashion, or form? Okay. How do you answer that? Well, the first thing that I say is, one, God is more than love. God is not just love. He is love. Now, if God were just love, then the idea of hell would be a problem. Because if God's love, then He's going to love everybody. And He's going to love everybody the same. And He's going to pour out all of these things the same. If you have a problem with God sending someone to hell, you would also have a problem with God sending rain on the just and the unjust. But God is more than love. God is righteous. God is holy. God is a judge. He's a judge that is both loving and righteous. Let me give you an illustration of this. I witnessed this. I went with a family who was adopting a child. And we had to go to court. We had to go to family court. And of course, if you've ever been to court, and I haven't been there that much, might be a surprise to you, but I haven't. But we go to court. And if you want to praise God for some things, you might need to go hang out one day in family court. That is a sad place. I watched this judge. I could still see his image of me. Short guy, had a full beard. And it started. And the first case was this girl who'd evidently been wrapped up in drugs. And it was around this time of year. It was around before Christmas. And she wanted the court to grant her permission to see her daughter. And she had been dry for 3 months. She called witnesses up to testify that she had been dry for 3 months. But I watched that judge look across that table at her and goes, No. You're not seeing your daughter. When you've been dry for a year, come back and see me. Slam that gavel down. Good night. This guy is, and you talk about cut and dry. Well, the next person that came up was a person that was behind on their child support. And he had no good reason why he was behind on his child support. Before that guy left that day, his truck was to be sold. He was to move out of his apartment and move in with his parents. His paycheck was to be garnished. And I remember the guy asking us, well, Your Honor, how am I supposed to get to work? Walk, as far as I'm concerned. Wow. This guy's pulling no punches. You have a responsibility. Live up to your responsibility. I'm thinking, we're going to stand before this guy about adoption. The next guy that stood up had done his homework. He also was behind in his child support, but he had a reason. He'd been injured. And he told the judge, here's my papers, here's my doctor's report. I have been injured, but let me tell you what I've done. I've gone to my employer, and I've asked him to deduct twice the amount of my child support that's normally taken out so that I can catch up. Your Honor, please don't, he was a mechanic, he said, please don't sell my tools. It's the way that I make a living, and it will take me 6 months to get caught up if you'll do it this way. When he said, thank you for